Welcome back to the Jefferson Exchange. I'm Mike Green. A powerful earthquake combined with rising sea levels could significantly increase flood risks in the Pacific Northwest. That would impact thousands of residents and properties in Northern California and Washington and Oregon, according to a new scientific study. Joining me to shed more light on this issue is Dr. Harvey Kelsey, a co-author of the study at Cal Poly Humboldt. Welcome.
Hello.
Are you there, Dr. Kelsey?
I am right here, yes, sir.
Okay, well, thank you for joining the exchange. Tell me about this study.
Well, the study is, impetus for the study was that a number of geologists have been working on understanding the impacts of subduction zone earthquakes on the coastline of Washington, Oregon, and Northern California. And over the course of years, myself with a number of colleagues have determined the amount of abrupt dropping of the land that's going to occur during subduction zone earthquake. And this abrupt dropping is significant. It's depending on the within error ranges and depending on the location, it can be anywhere from a little less than a foot to as much as more than 8 feet.
Okay,
and
Dr. Kelsey, let me jump in here real quick. I'm sorry to do this.
No, you go ahead.
But you're using terms that can be foreign to a lot of people. So let's talk about what does a subduction zone earthquake mean?
Okay, so along this coast, Washington, Oregon, Northern California, there are two crustal plates that are converging towards each other.
You're talking about tectonic plates?
Tectonic plates. So one is offshore, it's called the Pacific Plate, and the other is onshore, it's called the North American Plate. And as they converge, the offshore plate moves underneath the continental plate. But it doesn't occur smoothly. It's locked for a period of time because of friction, and then as stress builds up, it all of a sudden can no longer maintain its locked position and will abruptly move. And the movement is a movement downward of the ocean plate over the overriding North American plate.
Okay, so so that I understand, you have these two plates, and they're coming together, but one is going underneath the other. That's the subduction. And
that's what's called the subduction, yes.
Okay, and that's the Pacific plate, which is offshore, but the continental plate is going over the top, and they're kind of immobile at some point, and then when they move abruptly.
That's correct.
And what happens when they move?
Well, when they abruptly release the strain, then the continental plate, North America plate, sort of leaps oceanward. And if you're right at the point at which the release occurs, then the land movement is up. But that's out in the ocean and on a coastline. Of course, we're concerned with the coastline. That's where people live. That's where the impacts are. The ground motion is down because the upper plate's been stretched, and that this down motion is if you're inland, you don't really feel the vertical up and down, but if you're at the coast, you do definitely associate with it because there's a corresponding change in ocean level.
Okay, so there's a sudden drop.
There's a sudden drop, which is a sudden increase in flooding, or relatively a rise in the ocean because the earth has dropped down.
Okay, so I get it. So if I'm standing on the beach, and the beach drops down about a foot, the water's coming at me.
That's right. Water's coming at you, and that would be sort of a low end estimate of what we've determined for the effects of such earthquakes. The dropping down can be probably averages around 1.5 feet to 4 feet, but can be as much as 8 feet, depending on the size of the earthquake and where you are along the coastline.
Well, that seems like, given that earthquakes cause tsunamis, that could be catastrophic.
Yes, in this study, what we were focusing on, of course, the tsunami is a huge hazard during these so-called subduction zone earthquakes. And that's been, to coastal communities, that's been well publicized. But we were more focusing on flooding, which is a long-term impact that doesn't recover. I mean, a tsunami can be very devastating and be loss of life and loss of structure, but I don't mean to minimize that. But the other impact is that a permanent change in where the ocean is relative to the land, and that's not recoverable. The tsunami, in a sense, is recoverable because the surge of water comes in and then goes out.
So what does a rising risk of flooding mean?
Rising risk of flooding means that what's been well publicized is that there's climate-driven sea level rise, and that is caused by a number of factors, but perhaps the most intuitively obvious would be the melting of ice sheets and as climate warms. But there's also another rising risk of sea level rise, and that's from these subduction zone earthquakes, because when they occur, and the probability of one occurring in the next 50 years is perhaps about 30% or something like that, and it rises with time. But when these subduction zone earthquakes occur, there's a permanent vertical dropping of the land, and that's flooding. And to somebody observing this on the coastline, there's no difference from gradual sea level rise, except one flooding is by its name gradual, whereas the other one is going to be very abrupt. And the gradual sea level rise is occurring now, and it's going to continue to occur as climate-driven sea level rise occurs. The earthquake rise in flooding is going to be abrupt. It's going to occur over a matter of minutes, and it's going to be permanent. And so our study is undertaken to emphasize to scientists, but more importantly to the community and to residents and planners, that this is an underemphasized risk of planning and on the West Coast, and that is that when these subduction zone earthquakes occur, there's going to be a permanent flooding, which is going to happen. And on a planning basis, being aware of this, in addition to the climate-driven sea level rise, is imperative to understanding the possible risks and hazards.
Okay, I want to get into that in just a second. Let me reintroduce you. My guest is Dr. Harvey Kelsey, a co-author of a study from Cal Poly Humboldt on earthquakes and flooding across the Pacific Northwest. So when you talk about this permanent flooding that is the potential outcropping of the earthquake risk, you're talking about new floodplains, aren't you?
Yeah, you're talking about areas which today would be low-lying coastal plains, and they would be anywhere from elevation-wise less than a foot to 3 or 4 feet above what is called mean high or high water tide. And these are areas which largely they're usable emergent areas. So most of them are agricultural, or they could be parks. But there also are roads and residences and commercial areas within these sites, because they're not permanently flooded. They could be within what's called the 1% floodplain, which is simply a term to designate that these are areas that have a very low probability, 1 in 100, of being flooded in any one year. But if there's an abrupt dropping of the land because of an earthquake, when these areas become water.
So how should this study be used by policymakers, planners, zoning planners, business leaders, even just residents of this region? How do we use this study?
Well, that's a very good question. And the way to use it is to raise awareness about the fact that these areas can be mapped out. That's what this study does. It maps out the potential flooding, and for an earthquake gives a low land dropping, a medium land dropping, a high land dropping. But for planners, the maps are there. They show very clearly where the delineations of this flooding, if this earthquake would occur. So it doesn't necessitate, I'm not a planner, but I don't think it would necessitate abrupt changes in, moving residences but because we don't know when this earthquake can occur. But there's an awareness in terms of the economic losses and the losses to property and life that these changes could occur from an earthquake, and they occur within an hour. I mean, they're very abrupt. And I think that awareness can help.
Okay, so what are the chances of that kind of a major earthquake occurring in our region of Southern Oregon and Northern California, let's say in the next 10 years?
Well, the way geologists approach this is in terms of a matter of probabilities. And so the probability of that in the next 10 years is low. It's less than 30%, probably, but less than 3 in 10. Another way to look at it and is that over the course these earthquakes occur on the average every 300 to 800 years, and earthquakes are not predictable. The last earthquake, subduction zone earthquake, that affected this particular region of coast between Washington and Northern California occurred 300 years ago. And so we're past the time period when it could occur.
So we're overdue.
Well, we're in the window in which it could occur tomorrow, or it could occur, 2 centuries from now.
How should people prepare?
I'll first answer that in terms of tsunami. I mean, if you're on the coast and it shakes violently, then go further inland. I mean, that's a sort of immediate preparation that is part of the knowledge of what one does for a tsunami hazard. In terms of this permanent flooding, first be aware of the fact of whether you're in any of these potentially flooded areas. And if you are, then and the ground shakes violently, you'll know that the water is going to come up.
Yeah, that's after the fact. But now, how should we prepare for that inevitability?
Well, if you're outside the flooded area, then you're probably going to have violent shaking and lost power. So, standard earthquake preparation kits of having water supplies. If you're in that, it's in that area, then just be aware you're in that area. I mean, there's earthquake. The preparation for subduction zone earthquakes is well publicized in terms of having enough water and food and so on. So I don't think the preparation in this case is any different. It's more of awareness if you're in these. And most of these areas are agricultural.
We'll have to leave it there, raising awareness. Okay. Thank you for helping us understand this issue better, Dr. Kelsey.
Okay, thank you.
My guest was Dr. Harvey Kelsey, a co-author of the study from Cal Poly Humboldt on earthquakes and flooding across the Pacific Northwest. You can find a link to it on our website.